Good morning. To thank you all for joining us this morning. I pray the blessings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. And I'd ask, as you are able, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? We read as follows in the name of our Lord. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. Please be seated. Now this is a very loaded chunk of scripture. There's quite a few different things in here, and each one of them is very heavy. In verse 31, we see that Jesus is teaching them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Now, right away, I didn't really even see what the significance of this was. Jesus is just teaching them that this is going to happen. There ain't a whole lot to it. But then actually this morning, I was reading through it with the Sunday school, and it really hit me. He was teaching this because he knew this. He knew that he was going to go on that cross. He knew that he was going to die for us. And he didn't stop it. I mean, it's very clear the depth of his love right there. Jesus Christ was in full knowledge of what was going to happen to him. He was also in full knowledge of what that was going to mean for us. So instead of being like any other human, he gave himself up out of his love for us. Right away in this text, we are shown that out of his love for us, he is going to die for us. And he knew it. And now we come to Peter. After Peter heard him say that he's going to die for us, and after 3 days rise again, Peter rebukes him. Now, I don't know how many of you know what rebuke means, but it means to admonish with love. To try and, what's the best word to describe that? To try discipline without being angry, without being harsh, to try do it out of love. Now, why is Peter doing this? In the verses previous to these verses, Peter has just acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And now after Jesus says that he is going to die, Peter tells him that, no, you're not going to do that. Now that just doesn't make sense. Peter knows that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. But he thinks that he's not going to die. Peter is trying to get Jesus to fit his own image of Jesus. He wants Jesus to be a great, glorious, victorious king. But he doesn't realize that death is going to be his victory. Peter wants him to be the one that is going to rule the whole world. Going to be a great king. Peter has no idea what he's trying to ask for. And Jesus tells him that. Get behind me, Satan. Now, that seems very harsh. But the word Satan is actually for adversary. And in some translations, they do have it as adversary, but in most it is Satan. Because Peter is actually being like Satan was in the temptation of Christ. Peter is putting forth another temptation in front of Jesus. He's telling him that, no, you don't need to die like that. You can just stay with us, be glorious and victorious on the earth. Doesn't matter. But Jesus tells him that you're not setting your minds on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus knows. I mean, this just gives us another example of how Jesus really is. He knows everything. He knows what's going on. He knows exactly what Peter's thinking. Now we come to the really difficult part. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I don't know if you all understand why this is the difficult part. This is the difficult part because this is something that we all struggle with. Don't really realize it until you look at it. But in order to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. Now, what that means is we have to forget about all the things that we want to do and put the things of God first. Now, when you hear that, you think, well, that's going to cut down on a lot of fun, ain't it? See, I've actually been struggling with this a lot lately. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save his life. Now, all of you know that I grew up on a farm, and I absolutely love farming. I mean, even though this winter has been hitting record lows, I'd much rather be there than here. But at the same time, I'd much rather be here than there. The ministry is very demanding. Physically, emotionally, any different way you can imagine. It is very demanding. And most of the time, all I can think of is how much better it would be if all I had to do was work. I could just go feed the cows, milk them, done. But then when I come here and I get to see all of you, it changes so fast. From the little bits of advice that I get from all of you, from the smiles that I get from all of you, from the challenges that I get from all of you. There's no better place to be. But at the same time, I can't stand it. But that's what it means. We are to deny ourselves. And just in the past couple months, I have reached a place where I am so happy right now. Because God has given me this opportunity to be here. And He has helped me to lose the desires to be anywhere else. And at the same time, I don't like losing those desires. I still want to go do that stuff. But more and more every day, my love for the ministry grows. And I know that's from the prayers that have been given up for me from all of you. In verse 36, it says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Now, that's not talking about gaining the whole world for Christ. That's talking about gaining the whole world for yourself. Gaining all the riches, all the splendor, all the fame, everything for yourself. If you have all that, what good is it if you've lost your soul? But if you have your soul, what good is all that? None of the other stuff matters. Makes it pretty simple. And now another interesting verse. Verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words. Now, it took me a little bit to figure this one out. Because I thought I've never been ashamed. But then I've realized that many times I have been ashamed. I have been ashamed of Jesus, and I have been ashamed of His words. Because when I have been given opportunities to share His word, or I've been given opportunities to talk to someone about Him, I haven't done it for selfish reasons. Now that to me is being ashamed. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will a Son of Man also be ashamed . Now that's downright scary. For all the times that I've been ashamed, all the times that I've just purposely not shared His word with someone, He is ashamed of me. Now, in the end, we all know that because of verse 31, it's all going to be washed away because of that love that He has for us. But at the same time, do you like making your parents ashamed of you? Do you like it when your friends or anyone is embarrassed because of you? I know I don't. But when Jesus is embarrassed of us, how many of us notice? It's pretty simple. If we're embarrassed, I know we've all had experiences where we've been embarrassed by something that our parents have done. And how do you think that makes them feel? It makes them embarrassed. We all know what it's like. We've all been given opportunities. We've all had the instances where, a simple Jesus loves you would go so far. We just haven't dared to say it. We have the times where we would know the answer. We could just tell him, yeah, you need to pray. But we don't do it. Because we're ashamed. We're ashamed of what that might make us look like. So Jesus is ashamed of us. Now we need to all remember that. But we can't dwell on that. We can't dwell on the last verse of this scripture text. We need to dwell on the first verse. That Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. And Jesus loved us. So he let it happen to him. Amen.